This episode is brought to you by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club is fighting for a chance at promotion. These two Hollywood stars lead a team in the midst of history in the making, while dedicated staff and supporters hold on to a dream of returning the team and this working-class town in Wales to glory. FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Everybody, welcome to the first of
Scott, we gotta RP it.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, play the music again. Let's do it again. I'll bring us in.
All right, here we go. Here, I'm gonna start it all over. You ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
The dust is clearing, Scott, but ahead lies the vault of the keeper's knowledge. There, foretold, is the history of Azeroth and the cosmos itself.
But I can't go on!
Join me, young scholar, as we recount the tales of Azeroth.
Hang on, let me try that again.
Of Azeroth!
You almost said Azeroth. Okay. Azeroth.
Hazacostas Roth.
Got it.
Yes. Anyway, sorry, carry on. That's a better intro. But anyway,
here's the deal. It's okay. Here's what we're doing, folks. You're wondering what the hell this is. I wouldn't blame you, because this is on the instance feed. We're going to do a series of lore-based supplementary instance episodes. So, you know, instance lore specials, we'll call them. I don't know. We don't have a more creative name than that. Vault of the High Order of Zontar. Whatever. We could make something up.
I love it. Vault of the High Order of Arcane Knowledge.
Ah, see? It's pretty good.
Intellect. We'll keep it in game. Arcane intellect.
Yeah. And you have long been accused in the group of being the one with the most lore knowledge.
Well, I thought that. Recently, Patrick's been trying to say, like, you guys, I love the lore. And it's like, man, I don't know. But basically, what this is, full disclosure up front, Scott and I, but Scott especially, we're notorious for not knowing the names of anyone or any place.
Yeah.
And very often we're like, you know, the guy with the stick, you know, in the hills.
Yeah.
The goat guy with the stick, you know.
The time you were questing in Purple Land, I'll often say, because I can't think of what it is.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. So that may be incredibly infuriating.
Yeah.
But basically, I think it's Albert Einstein who said it. But then again, every quote is misattributed to Albert Einstein. But it said, if you truly understand something, you should be able to explain it simply.
Mm.
And that is something I don't know if I do or I don't, but I want to see. I feel like together we can.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Let me say
it out of me. And if you understand it, I kind of feel like you're my litmus test.
For sure. Cause I tend to take this approach of like, generalization. I'll see an area or a zone or a character or a story beat. And I will have some fun with it in the sense that I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember when What's-His-Hammer told so-and-so that he was going to take over the world. That time the dragon came. Like, it's like when I do it, it's told like the really weird shorthand. But I've witnessed you explain, you know, the more intricate things regarding relationships like Thrall and Jaina's or going back to...
Well, in my steamy romance
novels. Well, yeah, your fanfic.
Blizzard said, mm-hmm. Those are too steamy. We're going to make PG versions for our game.
Yeah.
It's funny, actually, we had a guy email through saying they thought that there was a Terpster reference in the game.
Yeah, I heard about
that. But it's Marcus from the steamy romance novels. They thought that Blizzard's own self-referential thing about this kind of perverted paladin. They're like, ah, man, they got him. they've done it. Instead of Mark, they got Marcus. Oh, my God.
Is he the one? He's the one I went into Orgrimmar to see, and he came out of the room.
Comes out of High Mountain.
There's High Mountain. You're right.
Yeah, and you get a steamy romance novel.
Yeah.
You know, a new version which kind of recounts. It even has cover art.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And it recounts the coupling of all the what do you call it? Well, the menage a trois.
Yeah. What do you call that? The coupling with a cow, though. It's a cat. It's bestiality.
Torrens, exactly. I don't know, because I guess he kind of made him don the cuckold's horns, but at the same time he's already a horned beast. Anyway, they made the beast with two backs, three backs.
Three backs.
How does it work?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So Scott, for once, hasn't hopefully had to do much work. He obviously found some fantastic intro music there.
Yeah.
But I said to Scott, I said, let's try it. Let's see what people think. They liked it when we did the Warcraft movie thing. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to have a similar sort of vibe, yeah. I think, where I try and take you through the story. And so I figure the best place to start is the beginning.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, another thing that's kind of motivated this is in the Emerald Nightmare, there's a kind of Heart of Corruption mm-hmm. in there
yeah.
that has kind of whispers of prophecy and future. Mm. And it's kind of like a riddle. And right. I kind of feel to properly understand what they're talking about, we kind of need to understand what it is we're in
okay.
and where we are.
Okay.
Okay.
Now you're going to go. Now, so you know that volume one thing. You're going back so that far. You're,
yeah.
you're going yes. like way like primordial
so
essence.
I just kind of feel we need to lay a foundation
right.
to kind of understand the Azeroth we are currently in.
Right.
Now, to be honest with you, if we'd recorded this show 10 years ago,
yeah.
this would be a very different story already. And that we have to bear in mind it's an evolving game, and I may say things that are wrong. Don't believe anything I say. I'm going to tell you stuff as I understand it, which may not be correct, mm-hmm. but that's kind of what I've come to know.
All right.
And equally, there's some fantastic other resources out there. A great YouTuber by the name of Noble. He's very good. He does a lot of in-depth lore stuff in videos.
Yeah.
One of my favorite new channels is a channel called The Lost Codex.
Mm.
And they do kind of in-lore, short, snappy videos around like artifact weapons and formations of Azeroth and all these sorts of things. So I love it. I love enjoying the community, what they do. Equally, Chronicles, Volume 1, which is the book you're chatting about, which kind of talks about, is kind of the, I feel, where we're going to start. And we're going to see how far we get.
All right.
And we're going to see kind of what makes sense and what doesn't. And again, if you like it, we'll do more. Mm-hmm. If you guys are like, it's too rambly. I mean, you've already spent kind of 10 minutes telling us that you're going to tell us something. You know, maybe you can get around to just telling us in the future. You know, whatever. We'd love your feedback. So,
yeah.
So Scott, firstly, are you sitting comfortably?
Yeah, I'm sitting totally comfortably. And should I shouldn't give you what I think the Titans are first, should I? Like, would that help with establish how dumb I am?
Yeah, go on. Yeah, hit me.
All right. Here's how dumb I am about the early days of Azeroth. Those early moments where life sprang from its bosom. Okay. There's a bunch of dudes named Titans. That are roaming around doing stuff, and they're big, they're huge. Like, the name Titan doesn't come by accident. They're really big honking things, octopi looking guys, and other ones are big leg giant looking monster dudes, and they kind of put the planet together, sort of. And
so already I'm going to stop you there because you're mixing things up, and I love it. Let's go kind of simpler. What do you think Azeroth is?
All right, I think Azeroth is it's a planet. It's in a universe.
So I'm going to stop you there because, again, we're going to start from the beginning. Okay, so before we kind of get into the Titans, we have to understand kind of where they came from.
All right.
I mean, they're pretty much close to deities. They're like gods, really.
Mm.
But before they were around, we start with, like, the light. So the light, common kind of word we use a lot. I play a paladin mainly at the moment, so I'm all about the light.
Yeah.
The light is basically the force. So we kind of have like the force, and much like the force, there's the dark side.
Okay.
So we've got the light, and we understand that light is the source of life. It kind of empowers goodness in the world. But then shadow priests out there will know this. There is also the void.
Yeah.
Now, The lore is that as the light spread throughout the universe, the void kind of grew and accumulated mm-hmm. where the light was lacking, where it moved on.
All right.
And basically what happened is where these two dimensions collided,
yeah.
it created a couple of dimensions. So we have the Great Dark Beyond and the Twisting Nether.
All right.
So the Great Dark Beyond is basically the normal physical dimension, which is kind of where we exist within. We're in the Great Dark Beyond.
All
That's
right.
kind of space.
All right, space.
And then you've got the Twisting Nether, which is like the magical version of space.
Okay.
So kind of like the Emerald Dream is to R. Azeroth. It's kind of like the magic version.
And you'll explain, I mean, Emerald Dream will certainly
come up again. We'll get into that. But hopefully some people have played through the new raid and they understand like, oh, cool. It's like all green and primordial and stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, this is at this time when the void and the light kind of collide in a big bang, maybe.
Sure,
who knows?
Sure.
This is where the first demons and titans and void entities were created.
All right.
So, titans.
Yeah.
The way a titan is born, they are basically born within planets.
When a mommy titan loves a daddy titan very much,
they have a planet, and in that planet, in the inside of a planet, is a titan soul.
Oh, hold and on, so then. They, so those titans are not big creatures on the planet; they birth the planets. I mean, they make them.
They are the planets.
Oh,
so if you watch Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, you're going to meet a planet in that. But this is Azeroth. Okay, this is our world, and our Azeroth is a titan, as it is also a planet. It within the crust of our planet contains a titan soul.
Okay.
But so basically, you started off with this pantheon of titans, this collection, this 80s rock group of the most badass gods and deities, these cosmic powered beings. Think Galactus, but good guys. These just gargantuan beings that were born of planets as they kind of matured and coalesced. Mm-hmm. The planet hatches and out steps this titan that continues to grow.
So this one's made of stone and mountain, and this one's made
of... Well, not necessarily. Okay. Like, we don't really know too much about them, and I'll get into their kind of current status as we progress through.
Okay.
But basically, the way to look at them is we've got a pantheon, much like the Greek gods and the Roman gods. You had a pantheon of gods. You had Zeus and the other gods, and before them you had, you know, Zeus's father was a primordial titan, and all these things. Anyway, so the first titan is called Amonthul.
All right.
So now Amonthul is alone. He's the first guy. So he's alone in the great dark beyond. He's just traveling around until he comes across other planets. And so he nurtures these planets. He gives them a bit of TLC. Mm-hmm. Maybe again, Scott, we return to, you know, maybe he loves these planets. Mm. You know, we don't know. All we know is that off the back of this, these planets mature, their titan souls hatch into the rest of the pantheon. So within these, you've got these other kind of familiar names, and you'll recognize them because these names crop up a lot in Warcraft, either in items that are directly associated with them, or references, or things that have kind of, you know, grandfathered into, oh, I get why that's called that now.
Okay.
So the patron titan of life and nature is Ianar the Lifebinder.
Ooh, Ianar the Lifebinder. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Now, the other Lifebinder we know is Alexstrasza.
Who named these people, or these titans? Do we know?
Chris Metzen. within the game, I don't know. I'm assuming they are kind of self-aware of their own name.
Yeah.
For example, Azeroth, apparently she's called Azeroth at the moment, but we'll see. She might be a loon. We're still not sure.
It's a she, then.
She is, apparently, according to Magni. But then equally, we'll go on to some of the whispers about what's potentially happening. We'll learn more about
Azeroth. Okay. All right. And gender as applied to planets is very interesting to me. So we'll get to that later.
Well, the thing is, the pantheon has both male and female titans. Ianar has the representation. She is a female, sexy, bodacious babe.
Yeah.
Rocking. She's like all, you know, flower, love child,
yeah.
But who hits the gym regularly. You know, she is built.
Yeah.
Of, you know, cosmic power.
Yeah.
So she is basically the mother of all life on Azeroth and other planets.
Okay.
Ianar is the Lifebinder. She seeds life as we understand it, trees and animals, things like that. She was the one who created the Emerald Dream and dragons as we understand it. Okay. Well, kind of. We'll get into that.
All right.
Then you've got other people like Golgoneth, the Thunderer.
Mm.
Now, Golgoneth is the Lord of the Skies and Oceans. And Golgoneth is the guy who presented a Tidestone to people on Azeroth.
Yeah.
And if you played through Azuna, you may have seen the shattered Tidestone that was reforged.
Oh, yeah.
That is Golgoneth's Tidestone. And so that's already
cool.
You're starting to see these Pillars of Eternity, these Titan relics that exist already.
Who assigns? Is there like a Zeus-style Titan that like assigns people these jobs? Okay, that's Amenthul.
He's the big daddy.
All right.
He's like the godfather of the gods.
Okay.
So you've got to think about these other guys are like these other gods, and they've all got their own little niche. So then you've got Norgannon the Dreamweaver. He is in charge of magic and records and lore. So we had the discs of Norgannon were recovered in Uldum, way back in Vinland. And these are something, again, we'll get into, but these are basically the records of everything that's happened on Azeroth since the Titans have been around.
Okay, so Amenthul, by the way, just a side note, I know you haven't mentioned this because it probably has much more interesting bearing later, but he is the brother of Sargeras. I did not know that.
So, we'll get into it. They're all family.
Yeah.
You've got to consider all of these guys are family.
Okay. By default, that's just kind of their relationship. I get it.
Yes. Okay. They're all Titans. They're all brothers and sisters, in essence. They're the pantheon.
Mm-hmm.
You then got someone like Khazgoroth, the Shaper. Now, Khaz, often used by dwarfs, Khazmodan.
Mm-hmm.
He is kind of a Titan, but he's the one who forges worlds and races. And he created I think it's the Valinir, I think they're called. Mm. The Earthen, basically, the beings of stone.
They're cool.
Like, exactly. So Khazgoroth is kind of like the daddy of the dwarves.
Okay.
And other kind of earthen races.
All right.
You've then got Golgoneth, the Thunderer. And already, I've already done Golgoneth, sorry. you've kind of got these amazing kind of these names. And like I said, they're all like the most muscly, coolest, craziest people there.
Yeah.
You've then got Agrimmar, the Avenger. And he was a champion, he was like a warrior. And he was a kind of a student, an assistant to the Pantheon's champion, their real defender.
But these were gods or demigods all sort of hanging out then? Like, who were they? Who
they
was he a champion?
They traveled the cosmos, finding more Titan souls, more planets that they could nurture, find more of their own, and they could then help bring order to the universe.
Got it.
So they came across things and tried to order them.
Okay.
They would take life and they would seed it. They would put things in the right place. They would quash void activity they found.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go from there.
Because everything's got its opposite. It totally makes sense. Now, one quick question before we move on. The light, as interpreted by modern Azerothians, seems to be just like, oh, well, this is the equivalent of religion in this world because we can't go full Jesus here. We have to go, we're going to go light.
So Blizzard have said that the only kind of deity that gets close to being what we would consider an actual deity is a loon.
Mm.
A loon is about as close to a cosmic being as we can. Now, within Legion, it's revealed that a loon actually created the Naru. She was the one who, in the great ordering of light and shadow and the void, she coalesced light into beings, that is the Naru. It's said that when the Night Elves first heard Alun, her voice was like a song, like chimes, wind chimes.
Mm.
And that's what we hear when we speak to Naru. Mm. So we don't know. Is a loon like the big Mama Naru, or my personal theory, and this is a theory, is that Alun is a Void Lord, but a good one, okay. Like a light Void Lord. Right. So if you consider that above, in this light and void dichotomy, this kind of eternal battle on that level, you've got the Void Lords, these dark entities, who are the fathers of the old gods, and they create chaos and death and destruction. And then you've got the champions of the light, the titans, who are about bringing order and such to the great dark beyond. Okay. And they did this through their champion, the defender, Sargeras.
Okay.
So Sargeras, hands down, strongest mofo in there. Like, he is just the strongest guy there is.
Okay.
So basically what happened is the Pantheon find out about the Twisting Nether and all the demons that resided there. So they sent out Sargeras and Agrimmar, his kind of his apprentice, mm-hmm. his lieutenant, yeah. His lieutenant.
Yeah, lieutenant.
Basically, it was their job to go out, and they started cleansing the Great Dark Beyond of all demonic influence. But it was there once kind of Sargeras then imprisoned these demons inside the planet of Mardoon.
Now, why did he do this? Because he's a douche? Is he like a fallen son?
No,
is it,
what? He is trying to bring order. He is trying to... He sees demons,
yeah.
And he's like, these are products of the Void Lords. We don't like these. These are all chaos-driven. Mm-hmm. We want order. And so he decides to imprison them.
Yeah, this is good. I like all these distinctions because I think it's important for players and me to more fully understand that the demons of this world, of this universe, of the cosmos, are not the demons of Diablo. They are not the demons of hell in the traditional sense. They're like these other kinds of demons. They're like they're definitely on the other side of the coin of good and evil, but they're not just straight up, you know, Diablo devils. They're something else. They're space devils, which is a very different thing. Anyway, continue on.
Kind of. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So basically what happens is they are going out and about kicking demonic ass.
Yeah.
And Sargeras gets the realization that it's all futile. You kill a demon, it goes back to the Twisting Nether. So the Twisting Nether is this magical dimension where it then recoalesces and transfers back into the Great Dark Beyond. So every time we've killed a demon on Azeroth, it's gone off to the Twisting Nether, its spirit, and it's lingered in this ethereal space, and then it's managed to kind of recoalesce into physical form, and then in theory can come back to Azeroth and hit us again.
Okay.
And so the only way to kill a demon is to kill them in the Twisting Nether or a place of hugely kind of drenched in fel. Anything that is, in essence, as the same environment as the Twisting Nether.
Okay.
So,
because that's what's fel. Really, I mean, if you could break the Twisting Nether down by its component parts, tons of it is fel.
Yes, basically, you've got the different... You've got arcane, you've got fel, you've got void, you've got light, you've got fire, you've got ice... You've got these, you know, you've got nature and, you know, you've got these kind of opposing elements and powers,
sure,
in the world.
That makes sense.
And fel is chaos.
All right.
Fel is part of that void energy. It's really strong. It's really dirty, strong, powerful stuff.
All right.
Anyway, so.
And they don't ever get into how these things manifest themselves as physical entities, right? Like
idea is that, you know, that these powers and these life forces are all products of that Big Bang,
okay.
This light and dark, and then within that, if we think about these deities above those titans potentially,
yeah.
In terms of you've got the Void Lords, which might be the same caliber as titans, they may be higher than titans. We've got to figure them out.
Yeah.
But the Void Lords, basically, their goal is to make everything disordered, The Titan's goal is to make everything ordered. So you've got these two opposing forces right. on this kind of cosmic level.
And in theory, if you had a planet that evolved to the point that they were all doing scientific study of these things, it wouldn't be that different than oxygen versus carbon monoxide. We would understand their properties and know what they do. But we know right now at this stage of their development that it is both that oxygen is good for you and carbon monoxide is bad for you. And you
but
know,
for some beings, they thrive on it.
Yeah, good point.
And that's the same sort of thing, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
So basically, Sargeras, he's off there by himself. Agrimmar's gone off in like the other direction. You know, they figure like they're split up and just start killing demons everywhere. And Sargeras starts to kind of wane on him. You know, he's killing all these demons. He's locking them up in his prison planet where he's just killing them. And he kind of realizes that it's kind of futile. You know, no matter what happens, they come back. And what's more is he sees how they're corrupted and about how kind of the void continually corrupts. And he then decides through his kind of logic that actually the only way to stop these, stop the corruption of the Void Lords and their kind of their main servants, the Old Gods, mm-hmm. which we, again, we'll get into the specifics of the Old Gods we know, is basically to kill everything.
Yeah.
You know, death is fuel
yeah.
for the Void.
Sure.
And so if you get rid of everyone, you know, the Fel draws on life and Void and things like that. So let's just, if I just get rid of everyone, then there'll be order because there won't be anyone here to disorder it.
But how will they fuel and themselves so, if they kill everything? They're all out of fuel, right?
But that's the thing, and that's kind of what Sargeras wants. He wants to starve the Void from fuel, even though he's kind of on that other side. He's not with the light, but his method, you know, he was a Titan. He's the fallen Titan. So he's corrupted, and his vision is to wipe out all life as we know it.
Yeah.
And that's why he started his burning crusade, where he was going to you know, be a righteous fire that extinguished all life
yeah.
across the great dark beyond. And that way, when there's no one around, it's perfectly ordered. So the Titans were doing it wrong this whole time. They were trying to cultivate life and to put it in a specific way, when really what they should have been doing is just killing everyone. And then eventually, once everyone's dead, we've done it, guys. We got the order we wanted.
Right.
And so that's where Sargeras fell.
Okay.
So we kind of then.
This is very biblical, by the way. This is very Jesus.
There's a lot of everything in there, really. Yeah. To be honest with you, the more kind of mythology you know, mm-hmm. The more you like. Oh man, that's totally like. For example, when we start getting into the Titans' keepers, you know, Loken, Odin, mm-hmm. Thorim.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of kind of Norse mythology in there as well.
Yeah. Do you worry those muddy up the otherwise sort of? I mean, not any of these. Some of these concepts aren't necessarily totally unique, but when they literally call the guy Odin but spell it with a Y instead of an I,
which is probably more authentic to how it was in Runic. I like it. I like it because it gives the same mythos, but it gives it a new slant, and I think it's a fresh way of looking at it.
All right.
And equally, a lot of those old Tenacious stories, the reason they've been so good is because they're really, you know, the reason they've stuck around so long is because they're really good.
Mm.
So I think that there's a reason to return to that sort of thing.
All right.
So anyway, so let's think about the Void now.
All right.
So the light birth Titans and all these good things. The Void basically created these big old meaty tendrils, you know, this corrupted beings that we call the Old Gods.
Yeah, they're real poops, those guys.
Now, the thing is the Void found this dormant planet that had a Titan inside of it.
Yeah.
We know that planet as Azeroth.
Yeah.
And basically, what they did is then they sent out these four Old Gods that, if you've played the new Hearthstone expansion, Whispers of the Old Gods,
mm-hmm.
you'll be very familiar with. From Warcraft, we've encountered a couple of them. But there's C'Thun, Yogg-Saron, mm-hmm. they're the two we've met.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Yasaj, which we've never met,
mm.
and N'Zoth, who we are hopefully going to meet this expansion.
Yeah.
So the reason we haven't met Yasaj, we'll get into. And
oh.
we're going to have lots of... We're progressing somewhere.
All right.
Hope, Hopefully.
All right.
But basically, so they sent these four old gods to Azeroth with the idea of corrupting the Titan soul within. So basically, the void cannot corrupt Titans once they're grown up. Mm-hmm. They're too strong. They're too minded. Well, and they think they can. Anyway, it's a lot easier to get them when they're young.
Yeah.
So you've got these primordial souls, and so they send out these four void gods. Basically, Agrimmar, the lieutenant of Sargeras, finds this new planet, Azeroth, and within it, a world soul, a Titan soul, more powerful than they've ever known.
Wow.
But there's one problem. It's got these old gods inside. It's already being corrupted. It's already pretty bleak.
Okay.
And if you were to look at the surface of Azeroth at this time, you would have seen a few things. So firstly, before the old gods, you had the elemental plane. Well, you had the elements before the elemental plane was there.
Yeah.
So you had
fire, Ragnus. Ice.
You had
sure.
You had Neptulon.
Mm.
You had not Alakir, which is the oh no Alakir. Yeah, Alakir and Therizane, the Earth Mother.
Okay.
So you had these four elemental lords that were constantly fighting with one another, reshaping the world. You know, and just it was turmoil everywhere.
What, you're fighting for dominance? Like, who would be the dominating?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what exactly.
I guess
happening.
That's what fighting is, generally speaking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were trying to assert their dominance.
Right.
So then the old gods come slamming into the planet, and you just got to think this big, kind of like in StarCraft when you have the Zerg come mm-hmm. in, and it's just like this big meatball that just squelches into the planet, and then just. All this horribleness just yeah. kind of falls off and goes everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So these old gods kind of burrow themselves deep into Azeroth. You know, they're kind of their influence and tendrils kind of seeping into the core, into that Titan soul, but equally on the surface everywhere. And so with that, these old gods start to create their own races. So they create the insect races that we see, and the Silithid and the Caraxi,
mm-hmm.
and also the faceless observery, you know, the tendrily.
Crazy
guys.
Yeah.
Again, this is where I lose it a bit.
So all this stuff's made under the planet. They're just all down there digging around.
This is on the surface as well as underneath. This is everywhere.
Okay.
So what you've got at the moment on Azeroth, so the old gods have arrived.
Yeah.
And you've got the elemental lords have currently been fighting amongst themselves for a dominance and, you know, kind of one-upping one another from time to time. And now you've got, you know, player two has entered the battle.
Yeah.
And you've got the old gods who've been sent by the Void Lords to basically corrupt Azeroth.
All right.
So firstly, they've got to deal with these elemental lords. And so basically, they send their armies wave after wave after wave, and eventually they end up causing the elemental lords to submit.
Hmm.
So they've realized, like, we're outmatched. Okay. So then these lords become... servants of the old gods. So Ragnaros is now, you know, at the behest of the old gods.
And Ragnaros is what, this elemental dude? He's a fireman.
He is, yeah, he's the fire guy. So, you know, Ragnaros is the fire guy, Neptulon's the water guy,
yeah.
Alakir's the wind and lightning guy, and Therizane is the stone Earth woman.
Did we fight Neptulon in the last expansion? No.
Neptulon we fought alongside in the Cataclysm.
That's what it was.
Vashir.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Ragnaros we fought a couple of times.
Yeah.
Therizane we actually repped up with in mm-hmm. Cataclysm.
Yeah.
And if you're a shaman, she gives you your offhand if you're an enhancement shaman. You get Doomhammer and then you get a weapon she gives you, like a kind of a mimicky elemental weapon.
So they were doing what do you call them, weapons before they were cool.
Yeah, I mean, they've been all over it.
Mm.
And then Alakir, we killed in Cataclysm. Well, we kind of ran a number on them in the Cataclysm, thinking about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, So
that's all up in the air now, though, right? Because the Warlord's time frame could have jacked all that up. They could all just right be back where they were, right? I mean, I know they're two different timelines, but they are mixed a little because
they tried to keep it quite clean. And again, if you play a shaman, their class hall quest is about getting the elemental lords back on side. Oh. And so part of that means we got to find ourselves a new fire elemental lord. Yeah. So we return to the Firelands and we basically help one of them become the new fire lord because we killed Ragnaros.
Yeah.
But you know, we need to make sure this guy, you know, that is friendly to us is the guy in charge.
Yeah.
Equally, Alakir has been killed. So we have to get Prince Thunderan, who I killed back in vanilla for my Thunder Fury Blessed Blade of the Windseeker. Did you say Thunder Fury Blessed Blade of the Windseeker? And so, you know, we kind of re-empower these guys and we get the Elemental Lords back on side to help fight against the Legion.
Okay.
So anyway, so we get the Titans arrive. So they've arrived now. You know, Agrimmar said, hey, guys, found the biggest, baddest Titan in the world. In the universe, in the Great Dark Beyond. We need you guys here, though, because it's not gone well.
Yeah.
She's had a troubled, you know, youth. She needs some help. So these guys come along, the Pantheon comes along, and they realize, like, oh, whoops, you know, this is going to be tough.
Yeah.
We're going to need some help here. We're going to need to make our own army to fight their army. So Khazgaroth, he creates the Aesir, which are fashioned out of metal with the power over storms. And the Vanir are the ones out of stone with power over earth. And so they make these constructs that they create an army.
They're like elemental robots, basically. Right?
They are the Titan Forged.
Okay.
So when we've in game in Alduar, we faced off against these stone and metal Vikir and dwarfs and giants and, you know, these, and in Anchorage, those big Anubisath sentinels.
Sure.
And, you know, all of these different people, these have all been kind of created by the Titans or creations of the Titans. So the Titans create this army and they create these keepers to command their army.
When you get a Titan forged weapon drop off a mob somewhere,
yeah,
the theory is that that weapon was created in part by Titans.
No, not really. The Titan forged are a name given to the Titans races.
Oh.
So we originally were all kind of Titan forged, mm-hmm. except trolls and elves. Mm-hmm. And orcs, and taurens. So not all of us, but the life as we understand it in terms of dwarves and humans and gnomes, kind of started out as stone and metal beings.
Okay, so we are descendants of these golemish sort of creatures of elements.
Exactly. So when you see these big Vykril in Northrend that are made of stone, those were made by the Titans or the Titans keepers.
Okay.
So the battles are going on. They're kicking the old gods' ass in places, and other places they're not doing as well. And they face up against Ysaj. Now Ysaj is an old god, one of the four in Hearthstone. Really good card. Yeah, draws a card straight from there.
Julian Ysaj. He's runs WikiLeaks. Very popular.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's doing a press conference soon as well.
I know. I heard about it in London, I think. Yeah.
So what happens with Ysaj is Amonthul gets a bit tired of this. So he's seeing this vile little creature that's threatening, you know, his little sister. And he's like, you know what, guys? I'm done with this. So he reaches down from the heavens. You've got to imagine big old hand of God coming out the sky and basically just plucks Ysaj out the ground and just kind of, well, rips him from the ground. So he's this big tendrilled snake-like monster with a horrible maw. And, you know, this hand of God just comes down and just rips him out from the ground like a weed from your yard. And he just pulls him out. and just rips him apart, just like, you know, eviscerates him.
Jeez.
And actually, you might remember from Warlords, from Mr. Pandaria even, we had to, with Garrosh, took the heart of Yasage.
Yeah, I do remember
and
that.
And so that was the, that's one of the few remnants of Yasage. And even after being ripped out of Yasage's body, that heart still beats.
It still beats, but there's no, I mean, obviously the game could go back to that well and, you know, Yasage gets his person back, but basically...
Well, yeah.
It's I like mean, the soul, is, it's like Diablo's Soulstone, right? Same idea.
Yeah, he kind of got a number done on him. Mm. But basically, what happened there is when he ripped him out of the earth, the Azeroth, he kind of did a bit of damage. You know, it's like if you pull up a weed that's gone down, maybe you've got like some asphalt, and if you imagine a weed, a really kind of tenacious, you know, maybe even like a tree, yeah. If you pulled a tree out of something like an asphalt, the root structure would cause, you know, it rips and crevices and you know, it would just make a mess.
Yeah, tear up
it's
your
not
sprinklers.
A clean thing to do.
Yeah, you'd tear up sprinklers, you'd break up, yeah, you'd cause all kinds of damage for sure.
Now, what happened is when they did this, is it actually damaged the world soul itself. It created a kind of a hole. And part of its essence and lifeblood and life force seeped into this huge crater that was formed by him ripping out this old god. And that crater, we now know, or we knew, was the Well of Eternity. So the Titans and the Keepers, after seeing like, oh man, we really messed this up, they went down and they tidied it up a bit. And the kind of the torment waters became calm, and but the very life force of Azeroth became this font of magical energy.
Oh.
And that is something that, again, we can kind of go into in future episodes if we do more.
Yeah.
But the Well of Eternity obviously has a long history in Warcraft and what it did.
I didn't realize that was the same collection point for the seeping wound of the world.
So that's where it came from. So okay. The Well of Eternity is basically Titan blood, Titan soul, Titan essence, you know, hugely powerful, hugely magical. And this is, again, from one of the most powerful Titan souls ever discovered.
Right.
Azeroth is a special planet, mm-hmm. and potentially is our savior. But maybe we're the saviors. We'll find this out. Anyway, so
do you think this is the expansion where that realization happens? Do you think at the end of it all, is it, does Azeroth save us?
I think so. So basically, during the questing experience in Legion, Khadgar discovers, that the Titans are dead. So all of our Titans, our creators, or people whose influence allowed life as we understand it to exist, kind of are gods in many ways.
Yeah.
They're dead, as we understand it. So we're now in a position where we don't get to meet our creators. We don't get to sit down with Amonthul and find these things out, necessarily, as we currently understand it.
Yeah.
With Blizzard, you never know.
Yeah.
But that's the information we've been given through the game.
Okay.
So, anyway, so back now. So Amonthul's ripped out Yasage, and he's like, oh, whoops, you know. We'll slap a band-aid on that, but I can't do that again because I nearly killed Azeroth doing that.
Yeah.
So we've got three more of these guys. What are we going to do? So they change their tactics up and they realize, okay, rather than kill these creatures, we need to imprison them. We need to minimize their influence. We need to try and, you know, contain the threat. So they build a prison around Anchorage, where we know it now, in Silithus,
mm-hmm.
where they trap C'Thun. They build a prison we don't know where, but we think probably around kind of Suramar / Tomb of Sargeras area.
Yeah.
There's going to be some sort of prison where they keep N'Zoth under the waters, potentially out of the way. We'll find out. And then... the kind of one of the biggest baddest of them all, Yogg-Saron, they trapped up in Northrend, and that's actually where they had their keepers, their watchers, based out of Olduar,
mm-hmm.
Where we had Thorim, Loken, Hodir, Freya, Mimiron, and Odin originally.
Yeah.
And that was basically the thing with Yogg-Saron is you look at a lot of the other ones and they're kind of a little bit kind of, you know, corrupty and evilly sort of, you know, we want to do this. Yogg-Saron doesn't care. He just wants people to die.
Yeah.
He calls himself the god of death and he is messed up. And you've got to think as well for the Lich King, he built a whole citadel out of Yogg-Saron's blood. You know, Saronite is Yogg's blood, mm-hmm. and that's what Ice Crown's made of.
I didn't realize that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and it's very corruptive, and people, again, think how much of the Lich King is the Lich King slash the God of Death, you know, Yogg-Saron. Mm-hmm. And even now with Bolvar, he's been sat in that kind of that citadel for quite some time.
Yeah. If that throne's made out, I thought the throne was just made out of ice. You're telling me it's made
out of... So the whole collection around it is all Saronite. Every piece of metal in that place is Saronite. It's Yogg-Saron's essence and blood.
Mm.
And we've already discovered blood is a pretty, you know, kind of conductive thing in this lore, in this ethos. So who knows?
Mm.
Anyway, so the Titans, they're victorious. They've imprisoned three of the old gods. They've killed one. Azeroth needs to be patched up. So they basically send their Titan-forged creations out to reshape it and start kind of, you know, decorating. They've moved in. They want to get a bit of feng shui on the go. They want to try and, you know, spruce the place up. And so they start ordering the seas and the lands and, you know, like I said, tidy up the Well of Eternity to make it a bit neater.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where that kind of progresses.
All right.
The Titans themselves kind of realize they've done as much as they can in this sort of field and instead kind of go off in search of other Titan souls. You know, they've given Azeroth the best hope they can. But before they go, we find that the Titans' keepers that they kind of empowered, Odin, Loken, Thorim, you know, all of these guys, Hodir, they decide, those keepers themselves end up empowering other races on Azeroth.
All right.
So kind of just to rewind a bit, we've got people like Ianar. She had a Titan keeper that we've met called Freya. So Freya, if you remember from Olduar, she's like a lady Titan construct.
Yep.
And she's in charge of creation of life.
Yeah, her whole thing with her whole section or wing was like a big it's like the Garden of Eden deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Freya with Ianar, they start creating, or Freya on behest of Ianar, starts creating these taking advantage, I guess, of some of these pools of energy, like the Well of Eternity that have come from Azeroth World Soul, and a way to heal them as well. And so starts creating these kind of these incubators for life in Ngoro Crater and Sholazar Basin.
Yeah.
And these other places around that, these big lush life-filled areas where life emerges and brims forward into all sorts of different kind of creatures. Mm. From this evolved some ancients, some wild gods. So some animals came out that had such a strong affinity for the world and the dream, which we'll go into, that they were empowered. So you get all of these kind of different deities and creatures from other races in World of Warcraft kind of stem from Freya and Ianar's realm. Mm-hmm. You then got Tyr. Now, Tyr, I haven't really talked about, was quite instrumental in fighting back the Black Empire, the old gods and their Kalaxian elemental lords.
Tyr is in the thing you excrete from your eyeball.
Tyr is in the Norse mythology and, yeah, it's T-Y-R.
Oh, all right. I think,
or yeah. He was like, he's kind of like Agrimmar, but small. So he's the Avenger, he's the champion, the warrior of the Titan Forged Keepers. So he was the one who kind of took the fight to Ragnaros. He fought back all these other people. Basically, at some point during all of this ordering, these elementals that hadn't been kind of trapped. So some of the other Titan Keepers, Loken and some of the others, Mimiron, they fought back the Elemental Lords, and they then trap them and contain them in a new plane called the Elemental Plane. So they created a new division between the physical world of Azeroth and below it, which would exist the Elemental Plane, like Deepholm and the Firelands,
right,
and you know, these sorts of places. So they trapped these Elemental Lords there, feeling like that's your prison, you can't get out of there, that job's a good one. Right. And that was Keeper Ra, who we met in Olden. And it was Helya, who we meet in More of Souls.
Yeah.
So we've got these Titan Keepers that have trapped these Elemental Lords.
Wait a minute, the Souls lady, Helheim lady.
Yeah.
What's
Helya?
Helya.
So she is a Titan Watcher, a Keeper.
Yeah.
She's twisted now.
Okay.
She's fallen. And that is off the back of corruption from the old gods.
Okay, so this always comes down to that, doesn't it? It's always like whenever there's a fall from grace or somebody dipping into the darker side of things and someone's got to go fix it now and we have to go kill them as adventurers or whatever, it's because they've gotten all wrapped up in fell energy or something connected to it. But it always goes back to those two things. You're either still in the light or you're in the void.
In essence, if you want to boil it down, that's the easiest way to look at this kind of eternal conflict. Is this battle between good and evil, light and dark?
Yeah.
So, kind of, I'll burn through the Watchers just quickly, just to try and get our kind of heads around what's going on here.
All right.
So these guys have led the Titan Forged armies. And they were led by Odin, the prime designate.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the chief of all of the Watchers. And his job is basically to be the general.
Okay.
He then has his brothers and sons and, you know, family are people like Thorim. So Thorim, again, all of these are going to sound familiar if you've run Olduar. Maybe you're still trying to get Mimron's head. I know I am.
Or if you're a hunter and you're doing Beastmaster, you've got Thorim's weapon or a weapon.
Yeah.
Thunderstrike.
Yeah, whatever it's called. Yeah. And then equally, if you're a warrior, Thorim's one of your followers. He's one of your champions. So he's a combat one as well. He'll come out and bless you.
Is he huge out there?
Yeah, he's pretty big.
Okay.
He's not as big as he is when you call him out in the world, but he's pretty cool.
All right.
Anyway, sorry. So Thorim, he's the guy who sent off after Alakir, and you know he's that's why he's all lightning based. He is basically a very cool Titanforge guy, and he ended up actually marrying and getting with a Vykril, a non keeper by the name of Sif. And again, if you play through Olduar, you understand that Sif is a big part of that. Sif, basically, if I talk about another keeper, which is Loken. Now, Loken is Thorim's brother, and Loken is in charge of the Temple of Wisdom. When we meet Loken, he's been corrupted by Yogg-Saron.
Yeah.
And that corruption, it causes a lot of our current issues.
Touched him with one of his tentacles or something.
It's a lot of them. It's weird.
He's a bastard.
But anyway, so we've got those guys. We've got Hodir, who's a big frost giant. He's the father of the frost giants. Yeah. He made them.
Still my favorite bow that ever dropped. Freaking love his bow.
He's cool. It's a great fight. He's got a Fresh Prince quote in there for one of the chiefs. He basically is he's Great Father Winter, basically.
Yeah.
You know, he's Santa, but a badass.
Yeah.
Freya, we talked about a bit. She's in charge of all the kind of life stuff. She creates the Emerald Dream
She created the Emerald Dream? I did not know that.
So she created it. This is where there's kind of conflicts. It's a question of, did she create it? Did Ianar create it? Did she create it with Ianar? Did Ysera create it when she was empowered by Ianar on the behest of Freya? It's a bit all over timey-wimey. We don't really know. It's been changed a few times. But the kind of the thought is the Emerald Dream is like this blueprint for Azeroth, like where it should be, what they were aiming for, I guess. And equally, it gives them a means in which to energize and heal the world and do different stuff. For example, inside the Emerald Dream is where Gahinir, the first world tree, the mother tree, is planted. And its roots seep throughout the dream and into the physical world and heal Azeroth, the Titan soul, the planet as well. And all the other trees in the world come from Gahinir, the seeds that kind of fall out of that. Mimron was like in charge of all the tech and all the inventions. Mimron we meet in Alduar is a giant mechanome. Yeah. Mimron actually created the mechanomes, but when he was a Titan watcher, he looked like Odin and Loken and stuff like that. He was a big, stone metal being. But he was actually destroyed in an experiment that went wrong, but it was probably Loken, sabotaged it. But thankfully, his mechanome creations managed to build a large mechanome body that could house his soul within. So when we meet him, he's a big gnome.
He's a big robot, basically.
But basically, the reason I kind of talked around it is to get to Tyr. Now, Tyr is basically like the god of the humans, really. Tyr lost his hand in a fight with Galakrond, which is a huge, huge, huge dragon, a proto-drake that ate other dragons.
Oh, wow.
And he ate dead dragons, and then they would raise as dead and had, this necromancer-type ability. And Tyr was like, hey, Watchers, we need to go out and kill this dragon. But the Watchers, they fought the Mantid and the Elementals, and they were kind of tired, and they were busy doing their own things and trying to heal Azeroth and do stuff. And so Tyr was like, okay, fine, I'll do it by myself then. Cheers, guys, thanks. So he goes out there, and he finds these five proto-drakes that are kind of stronger than the rest and want to help. And together with those proto-drakes, just about, they manage to kill Galakrond. And Galakrond is so big, to put it into context, when you go to Dragonblight in Northrend, that central zone where Wormrest Temple is and all of that stuff,
yeah,
that's basically his skeleton. And his like, there's lots of excavation going on where they're trying to unearth
Galakrond. Yeah. The part, there's the part that they originally, well, they call it the Path of Titans.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That around there, exactly.
Yeah.
So basically, Galakrond was this huge, huge, just gargantuan beast, but was taken down by Tyr. But in the process, Tyr lost a hand. Mm. Now, basically, his BFS, Arcades, from Uldum, I think. Mm. He was like the smith of these guys, and he forged him a silver hand. Mm. And so that's where the Paladin Silver Hand, the Order of the Silver Hand, gets its inspiration from. Because basically, Tyr was this hero upon heroes. He was this great warrior. He always fought for truth and justice. Him and Odin were the ones who fought and defeated Ragnaros, who was the most powerful of all the elemental lords. Mm-hmm. There's other ones. There's Arcades. There's Keeper Ra, Radan. Loken, though, like I said, Loken is the tricky one. Mm. So basically, Loken was Thorin's brother, and
like Thorin Loki.
Yes, exactly. Now Loken had an affair with Sif.
Uh oh.
Okay. Now, we don't even know if he did or if it was Yogg-Saron doing the whole I'm Sith thing, like in Oldham, in Alduar.
Yeah.
But basically, he was like, whoops. And so he got scared. He was worried. He didn't want to lose his brother. He didn't want to lose Sif. You know, he loved her. And basically, Yogg-Saron started preying on this fear and basically was able to corrupt Loken and make him worried. Loken then kills Sif in a kind of accidentally kind of Hercules madness sort of accidental whoops.
Yeah.
And then Thorim is like, oh my, who killed my wife? What the hell? And Loken's like, oh man, it's them. It's the ice giants. It's, you know, Hodir's ice giants killed. And he's like, what? And so Thorim goes to war on the giants. Loken then's like, oh nuts, this is getting deep. He basically kind of everything, like I said, he potentially kills or tries to kill Mimiron, but is saved. Mimiron saved by his creations. But he's fractured the whole pantheon. Basically before this happened, sorry, I'm jumping around a bit, the pantheon decide to, after Tyr has kicked Galakrond's ass, Tyr's like, look guys, we're getting a bit Danny Glover, aren't we? We're a bit too old for this shit. You know, can we pass off our duties to someone else so we can focus on the important stuff? You know, this healing Azeroth. We've built some machines. We've got the Forge of Souls and the Forge of Wills. And we're going to try and heal Azeroth and try and make it a bit better. And so they then empower these proto-drakes that helped Tyr. So they empower Alexstrasza. They empower Malagos, Nozdumu, Ysera, and Nathalion, or Deathwing, as he later becomes.
Yes.
And so all the Titan Watchers, the Keepers, kind of agree to it, and they ask the Titans to bless them. And the Titans are like, sweet, cool, and then go on. Or they themselves kind of say like, hey, you have some of my power. Again, it's a bit confusing. The one who didn't agree to this was Odin. Odin was like, no, we are the guys who are meant to be in charge here. Only us or like the greatest of our Vykral warriors, you know, our Valajar, they, you know, that will be the people to defend this world and look after this world, not these dragons.
Yeah.
So Odin gets in a huff, storms off.
And by the way, so, can everyone take on, not everybody has, sometimes in this world I go, oh, he can be a dragon too? Like I start feeling like everybody can be dragon form if they want. That's not true, right?
No, it's the other way around.
Dragons can be dragons.
Who can be a dragon?
Well, like, so I know this will come up later when we do when we talk about the aspects and stuff, but like Chromie. That's a dragon deciding to look like a gnome when it needs to like mill about with people. All right,
exactly.
All right.
So dragons have the ability to change their form and look different.
Not
which
the
can
other
cause
way around.
Some problems.
Right.
But not the yes. Not a gnome that chooses to pretend to be a dragon.
Okay.
But basically, all of these different dragons got given different kind of responsibilities and powers. We'll go into that in another episode because already we've kind of spiraled out a little bit more than I think I was wanting to chat about.
Right.
But I just kind of. Wind this up. So the Forge of Wills we find in Halls of Lightning, and that's Loken's kind of place. And basically Odin said, let's build one of these things and we're going to transfer energy into the Titan. We're going to beef up this Titan. We're going to kind of give it some vitamins. We're going to say our prayers. It's going to be an even stronger Titan because we're going to keep nurturing this Titan soul and do some great stuff. But equally, because we got all this cool energy going through it and it's a cool machine, we can start doing some more stuff with it. And so they use this forge to start making things like the Mechanomes and the Earthen and the Vykril and start making these different races. Now, after Loken kind of shuts himself in there, Yogg-Saron decides, hang on, this is great. And he starts corrupting that forge and the earthen creations it's creating with something called the Curse of Flesh. So Yogg-Saron is, again, one of the most influential old gods, in that he is the one that turned earthen, you know, like frost dwarfs and earthen dwarfs into fleshy dwarfs, and turned these big Vyanir, these big metal Vykir, into big hulking fleshy Vykir. And so they went from being these eternal elemental primordial beings to being fleshy mortals. That was basically Yogg-Saron's ability to be like, yeah, I'm going to make it so that your creations age and fall and become soft and fleshy and killable. Mm-hmm. And what's more is it spread to the other creations. So these new ones that came out started coming out weird and fleshy, and then they had like this disease, this curse of flesh, that corrupted these other ones as well. So eventually we start seeing all of these races start becoming humans, you know, kind of, you know, as we see it, you know, these fleshy creatures, and these big hulking Vykril suddenly start pumping out a few small ones from time to time. And King Yimron, I can't even say his name, he's the guy who's like, any small Vykril you kill. And then a couple of them snuck off, and that's what started the human kingdoms. You know, these human kingdoms came from the remnants of these different races. So,
do the humans know this now? Do they know that they sprang from Vykril?
I think so. Okay. I think so. It's weird because they don't really talk into it. Like Bran Bronzebeard definitely knows in the Explorers League, yeah. But not necessarily. So basically what happens is that Loken kind of tries to kill Mimron and make it look like an accident. Yogg-Saron corrupts Freyr and Hodir into just being stupid and, you know, ridiculous. But basically Arcadius and Tyr, they are like, man, this is getting messed up, we're going. So they go. And basically that means then you've got Keeper Ra, Radahn and Odin are left. Now Loken seeks the aid of Hellier. So Hellier is a Titan keeper, a watcher, who is actually tricked by Odin and forced into serving as the caretaker of souls. So
she's like she's like Hades in this sort of
exactly
Greek thing. Okay.
She doesn't like Odin. And so basically she was the one who, along with Ra, banished the elemental laws to the elemental plane, the abyssal plane. And Hellier uses that same kind of magic and technique to lock Odin and his warriors inside the Halls of Valor. Now, the Halls of Valor at this time is part of Alduar. Mm. But basically, Odin cannot leave the Halls of Valor. So now we've just got Keeper Ra. So basically, Ra doesn't really know what's kind of going on. he gets kind of a bit depressed after finding out that the Titans die, because when the Titans die, they all kind of see the Titans' lives flash before their eyes, these keepers, and Ra then goes off to create other stuff around. So basically, Loken becomes the new Prime Designate, and he deletes all the records of all of the stuff that went bad, and ultimately things got pretty bad. Mm. So kind of from where we were, we started with light and dark clashing. We had the formation of these worlds and these Titan souls, the kind of the 80s rock group that we all dream of, formed up with the Titan Pantheon. And they found their kind of the world's, you know, they found like the lead singer they always wanted in Azeroth, but they found out that she had terrible taste in music in the shape of the old gods and the Void Lords. So then the Titans, their job was to try and nurture and you know, cleanse Azeroth, and to do so they created a lot of tools and races and things to try and help shape Azeroth into the place where it could emerge as a titan. Now, like I said, we'll go into the other stuff in other times. Like the dragons, the proto-dragons actually kind of were evolved from elementals that had escaped or avoided being trapped in the Abyssal Plane, and they kind of coalesced into these weird winged creatures. Mm-hmm. So we'll go into dragons in more depth in the future, and we'll talk a little bit more about kind of some of the other Titan constructions, the Forge of Souls and Wills and all of these different things that go on, and the other races and all of those things, if people want to. I think we've kind of covered more than enough, and it's already got a bit all over the place. But I think it's easy to do, but we needed
this foundation. Like, this Titan foundation is important.
I think so. And I think the thing to bear in mind is that, for example, in terms of Azeroth as a Titan or Azeroth being alive, mm-hmm. we don't know if Azeroth is. Dave Cossack, who's lead quest writer on Warcraft, said on, I think it was like a Reddit post or a tweet, not even that long ago, but maybe like a year or so ago, I think he said something to the lines of Azeroth is dead, but it lives on in all of us, the champions. Mm. And the reason that we're so strong is we've kind of been empowered by this essence. And so we have the power to take the fight to the Legion.
And possibly
we
take...
are the destined champion that will, you know, sunder the Legion and the Void Lords beyond that. Mm. We are the ones that will do it. If the Titans are all dead, it's up to us to do the difference. Now, I don't know how true that is, because equally he referred to Azeroth as a he, whereas now Azeroth's referred to as a she.
Yeah.
And it's those subtle little differences that you're wondering what else has changed. But again, for all intents and purposes, you know, this is the universe that we exist within. So we've got some of these cosmic battles and all these different things going on. But in future episodes, if you like this, hopefully we'll do more. And we'll get into some of the more mundane stuff, mm-hmm. versus this big cosmic battle from where we've kind of come from. Some of the conflicts between the Night Elves and the Highborn and the Troll Empire, and the origin of some of the other races, the Human Kingdoms, Lordaeron and Arthas, and all of these different people and how they all fit together. And probably on the instance, we'll talk about the whispers from, I think it's Ilagoth, but the Heart of Corruption within the Emerald Nightmare.
Yeah.
And some of the things he talks about, there's a prophecy basically that kind of implies that we've been played.
Mm.
So we've been seeking out these five pillars of eternity to seal the gateway from the Legion getting in. But there's a theory that actually we're going to open the prison to Nazoth.
Yeah, that we don't want
or
that.
Or something like that.
No, we don't want that.
And so, you know, we can find a bit more about it. We can start to deconstruct some of these ideas, and we can understand a little bit more in terms of where the game might be going with story. You know, we've already, through Legion, we've seen Tyrellion is the kind of leader, mm-hmm. of the Army of the Light. You know, we've got this great Naru-filled champion. But equally, we're being told that Illidan's really special, mm-hmm. and he's the child of both Shadow and Light, and what's his part to play? So I think we'll kind of get into the elves next time and have a bit of an idea about kind of where we are and where we're going and all those sorts
of
things.
Yeah, we needed to start. Think of it as a mini-part documentary series about stuff. You got to start Big Bang, and you got to, and eventually we'll get to why do caterpillars crawl that way, and how come frogs mate with these frogs?
Exactly. I think we can get less heavy as it goes on,
yeah.
because it starts off and it's very, you know, cosmic opera, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of big noise, a lot of craziness.
Yeah,
but
and a lot of it's not even like, I mean, imagine yourself in an actual world. A lot of this stuff is still shrouded in myth and mystery. So to the people of Azeroth, they're hearing these tales they're not reading the internet. They're getting tales passed down around the fire from Bane Bloodhoof, who's tales of a tale of this or that. And you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Thanks, Dad.
Partly,
and then you pass it
on. Partly. Again, I mean, there's a Discs of Noggin. I can't even say his name. That's why I'm terrible for this. But certain stuff has been kind of chronicled. And in theory, that's the canon. That is what happened. But at the same time, we really don't know.
Right.
So, yeah, Norgonons, the Discs of Norgonon are stuff that actually we took some copies of back in vanilla, like over a decade ago. It's crazy.
Wow. Jeez.
And so in some ways, a lot of these things have always been there. Like, you know, we give Metzen and Blizzard a hard time for making changes, but actually, ultimately, they always tend to make something a bit cooler.
Also look at the job ahead of them. Like I always told Chris this. I can't believe what room does there exist at Blizzard where on the wall or on some sort of board are all these connecting paths or all these connecting characters, all of these different influences and everything ranging from giant titans to one of the chickens on the farm. Like how are you keeping all of that not flying apart in chaos? And to me, it's incredible that they've managed somehow to do that over the years. It's crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, I can barely make it through an hour-long episode trying to remember the chronology of it all.
I think you did a fine job.
And how they do it is exceptional.
I'm super impressed.
Hopefully you've enjoyed it, Scott. Your questions are helping people as well. And hopefully you guys listening enjoyed it. And if you did, please let us know. Please let us know what you want more of, what you want less of. Mm-hmm. Is it too long? Is it too short?
Yep.
Does it need, you know, more sound effects? Horde side. I don't know. But I think if we can get a couple of these out a month or so, I don't know, really. We'll just have to see kind of how we've got time and stuff like that and if it's desired. But hopefully it's one of those things that kind of makes sense. And I think as time goes on, we'll get a better idea in how this works and fits.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to approach it like I always have. I will be the eyes of those out there who love this game but don't know the minutiae quite as well in terms of story and lore. And you are that guy who knows certainly a whole lot more than me and those like me. So I think it's a good combination. It's something I'm really looking forward to. So if you listening would like to, theinstance@gmail.com is the email address to send your thoughts about it. If you like it, let us know, and we'll keep putting these in here, whatever basis we do them. If it'll probably be a couple of times a month, that sounds
ad
right
hoc,
to me.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, ad
we'll
hoc.
Go with in
whatever.
Terms of the schedule. Just make sure you sew up to the RSS or go to the website and do it however you do it.
Yeah, however you get your we'll podcast already. If you're hearing this now, I guess you're already getting it somehow or you get it, and we'll pimp it out on Twitter and stuff in case you miss it. I guess that's it then. That ends today's first episode of. We really don't have a name for it, and that's okay, but it's basically the lore time with Scott and Terpster for the instance. A lore special. That's what this has been, a lore special.
A lore special.
Again, theinstance@gmail.com. That's the email to send it to. Terpster, thanks so much for your vast knowledge.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for staying with me. And obviously, we're going to be here this Friday for the show.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen as it should.
As scheduled, yes. So this is a nice little gifty bonus, everybody. And we hope to bring you more. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Scott, hand me another two. Oh, I remember this story. This is a really good one.
Oh, what? Hold on! There's some kind of fish creature lizard at the gateway saying that he's going to destroy us all.
'Tis us off! Send it back, Scott. Use your arcane lore knowledge. Remember the histories and the lessons of old.
Is it in my book? Do I just click in the book? Wait a minute. This says pet skills. I don't understand. I'm a hunter.
Go to Wowhead and just look at the quest.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.